Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great, awesome state of Pennsylvania. Today, we want to continue on our series, The Gifts of the Holy Spirit, doing a part number 8. And we're going to continue on with the gifts, of course, the gifts of the Spirit, but with tongues and interpretation of tongues. We started part of that in the second half of our last podcast, and we want to continue that here, and hopefully we'll be finished with this part. And so what we're going to start out with here is kind of reiterating some of the points that we made previously and then adding more to that as well. So if you have your Bibles and you'd like to follow along, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Tongues and interpretations of tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, and we'll start at verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. How important is that? That we're not only to pursue love, but it says pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. And as I said earlier today at church, while teaching on this subject in the English service, sweetheart, I said that we need to do both, not just do one or the other. You know, there's a lot of people out there who believe that we need to develop in the fruit of the Spirit. And yes, we agree with that. We do need to develop in the fruit of the Spirit, but not just the fruit of the Spirit, also in the gifts of the Spirit. And if he tells us, Paul says, as he's the writer of Corinthians, to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, we have to ask this question. Is this a suggestion? Or is this something we're told that we're supposed to do? Well, I say it's something we're supposed to do. And of course, you know, that goes without saying. So before we get deeper into the subject, as is my habit, I would like to introduce my sweet... You know what? I forgot to tell everybody that my sweetheart's nickname is Sweet. My sweet, lovely and beautiful, wonderful bride. The woman of the love of my life. Second to Jesus, of course. My sweetheart, Miss Norca Karina.
Hi, everyone. And thank you, Amor, for that beautiful introduction. I know it's more than just words. I know that that's what you feel in your heart, and good thing that it's both ways.
Yes,
it's so good to be able to share our testimony and for our listeners to kind of share in a little bit and listen to, I want to say, the romance between us. And some people might be thinking, oh, that's because they're newlyweds, but we have claimed it and believed it that this will be a honeymoon that will go forever and ever.
Amen.
And will go on. And we encourage the listeners to ask the Holy Spirit to help you, what needs to be done to get that fire rekindled, that spark going on again, because marriage is definitely a beautiful thing, and especially when it's defined according to what the Lord says. But we're not talking about marriage today, so I wanted to first of all thank God, because he definitely used you in such a special way when you share today in the English service for our listeners. We are blessed by the opportunity God has given us to be able to share the word and to share the gospel and disciple the believers. And today it was your opportunity to do so, as we are blessed with many ministers as well. And it was so good. It was so good to be able not only to listen to the teaching, but even to see how the people were taking in, absorbing, like when you're listening to something for the first time, and it's something that's in the Bible, something that we've heard, we've read, we've talked about. But, you know, as you were saying, with the gift of being a teacher, God just uses you in a special way to explain things that after you explain it, one would say, duh, how come I didn't see that before? It's so plain. Or then again, also some things that are not as obvious and like, wow, two and two together. So praise God. I bless the Lord for your life. And I truly believe that this teaching is more than just 30 minutes of someone's time, but it's information, knowledge, revelation that the Holy Spirit uses to give us a deeper understanding of the truth. And the truth is not just something for you to collect, like, you know, having encyclopedias on your shelf, a whole bunch of facts. But this is something that actually will make you free and will help you to reach the fulfillment, I'm looking for a word here, but as much as possible, the calling that God has made, the potential, that's the word, the full potential of who God has called you to be. So it's exciting to know that we get to be a part of doing this under the command of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say that not even because, oh, I feel like I have some free time, what can I do? But this is by the command of the Holy Spirit. And if He's commanding it on our end, it's because there are already hearts, not only that need it, but are prepared to listen, to receive, and to take in this word and then be fruitful and see this word become alive in their soul, and for them to be able to walk in the likeness of Jesus and make a difference, not only for themselves, but now to use these gifts to also be a blessing wherever the Lord takes them.
Amen, sweetheart. That's beautiful. Beautifully said. And wow, I thank you for the nice compliments. You're always such a great encourager to me, and I so much appreciate that. And of course, continue on with what we're talking about here. Tongues and interpretations of tongues is, you know, I want to reiterate something you kind of said or alluded to saying, was the purpose of these gifts. What are they for, really? Are they there for us to go around touting, oh, look, I can speak in tongues and you can't, and blah, 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 look how big shot I am? No, it's nothing about that. It's all about God gifting us, giving these gifts so that we can use them for the kingdom's advancement. It's all about advancing the kingdom and helping the people, you know, because God doesn't give the gifts just so we can go around looking like big shots and we can say, look how great I am. It's not even close to that. But yet you have these arguments made about, you know, and I hear it, and I heard it even recently, you know, about how some don't want to listen to somebody who teaches on this or believes these things, because they have the idea that they're being put down because they don't believe in them or they don't practice these things. Like if you speak in tongues and they don't speak in tongues, that somehow you're putting them down. This isn't about this. This is trying to inform people what is available to them, because God's power is being manifested through them for purposes oftentimes beyond what their knowledge is about why these things are so, why these things are needed.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, and I'm saying interesting, not in a positive way, unfortunately. Because we pray that we all desire to grow in maturity. Because what you're saying, and I know that you're not just stating there may be people out there, but you're actually stating actual cases of people that you know that have said these things. But it's like saying, you know what, I don't like hearing about cars because I don't have a car. And if you talk about cars, I feel that you're offending me because I don't have a car. That's how silly it sounds. And we pray that, you know, as Paul in his teachings, he writes and encourages us to grow up as Christians, because the truth is the truth and it has to get preached. God did not leave the Bible so that it'll tickle our ears. The Bible was given as an inspiration to exhort us, to teach us, to show us the right way and to make crooked ways straight. So we pray that the listeners, we all have a humble heart because we are all in a position of learning.
That's true. That's so true. You know, and I think one of the worst things that can hinder somebody is their own pride, you know, and sometimes it ain't necessarily the pride of having something and being something. Sometimes it's the pride of the fact of not having it. You know, it's like you said, you know, that was a great illustration you used about the car. You know, I don't want to hear about cars because I don't have one, because you're offended me. You're making me feel less than. And that's the thing that I hear often, that this is something that makes some people feel less than, and that's not the intention at all. The intention is to educate them to the fact of what is available and for why. Even if you say, well, this is available to you, well, I hear this. Well, you know, that's one of the least of the gifts. I don't really need that. But yet, when you really look at it, the reason is because they don't understand the purpose of it. You know, if Jesus offers us something, God offers us something, offers us these 9 spiritual gifts, shouldn't we be wanting all of them? Shouldn't we be wanting to have everything that's been made available to us?
Absolutely.
And I will go on record to say this, we need these gifts. The body of Christ, the church, needs these gifts to function optimally, to function to the top level where we need to operate, because there is an enemy in this world called the devil, and he has supernatural abilities. And it's only going to take God's supernatural abilities through the church that's going to stop him. Human wills and human strength, physical human strength, cannot stop the devil. The devil laughs in their face, because all he has to come along is to put some kind of spirit on him. And then the next thing you know, they're turning into some crazy, you know, deranged individual. It doesn't matter how big and strong a person is. He can be 6'9". He can be 350 pounds. He can be able to bench press 800 pounds or whatever. And yet an evil spirit can oppress that person's mind to such a degree to make him completely disabled. And we need these gifts. You might say, well, then what in the world has that got to do with tongues and interpretation of tongues? Because it's one of the gifts, two of the gifts of the 9, that's important to the whole process of all 9 gifts that we need. And we'll go a little further to talk about why these gifts are important. So let's get back to the scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. So that means we need to be seeking these gifts. We don't take for granted, well, God will give it to us if we want it. It says to seek them, desire them. I mean, how are you going to seek something if you don't desire it? You know, I, getting back on the romance thing here, I desired this woman right here next to me, sitting here on the couch doing the podcast. So I, through my desire, decided to pursue her. And here I am, living in the same state now with her, and we're married.
And I'm glad you did.
Because I pursued her. I desired her. So it takes a desire, generally, for someone to pursue something, at least into the degree of being able to pursue it until you obtain it. Because you can say, well, you know, I got a little desire for this, and then, you know, I made an attempt. I called her. Well, okay, she didn't return my call. But the persistence. There's something about persistence with God that gets God to move on your behalf.
Amen.
And so when he says to desire spiritual gifts, he means we need to pursue them. Okay, so let's move on. For he who speaks in a tongue, verse 2, does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to man. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. See, some people get lost right there and get stuck. They say, oh, see, it says that prophecy is greater than tongues. It says he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues unless he interprets. So what he's talking about here is the use of the tongue in the public assembly where the church can be edified. Because if you go on down here, he goes and talks about, you know, a bunch of people speaking in tongues and nobody understands anything. And people come in and are unbelievers or unlearned and think you're all crazy because there's no one given interpretation. Now, see, this leads us back to that argument that has often been made about why tongues aren't for today. It's because they believe it was only given such on the day of Pentecost to be spoken in people's languages that they would hear it and understand it. Well, then here, this whole premise here in 1 Corinthians 14 kind of shows you that there's another purpose for tongues. Because if it was about speaking in a tongue of the of people who were present who understood it, then there would be no purpose for him saying some of the things he says here. You know, where he goes down here and says in verse, let's see, verse 27. It says, if anyone speaks in tongue, let it be by two or at least three, most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. See, this whole thing is, you know, shows you that there's another purpose for tongues other than speaking in someone's language that they understand and can tell you what is being said. Because what it's saying here is that if there's no one in there to interpret, he must what? Keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. And I asked this question before. What's the purpose then to speak to himself and to God in a tongue where no one else can hear it and no one else can be benefited from it or receive the interpretation? Well, we see back here in verse 4, earlier in the chapter, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Now, some people say, well, you know, I don't need this gift. It's one of the least of the spiritual gifts, at least in most people's opinions. At least in my experience over the last 30-some years, this is one of the gifts that majority of Christians I know think is one of the least of the gifts. Why is that? It's because one is you're speaking in a tongue, you don't even know what you're saying. What do you mean you don't know what you're saying? Well, Paul says right here in verse 13, therefore let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So he's clearly saying that if we're praying or speaking in a tongue, we don't know what we're saying. So that's one of the reasons why people find it one of the least of the gifts is because they don't have an interpretation for what they're saying. And so they don't see of a value, much value to this. As compared to, wow, if they had the gift of miracles or the gifts of healing, casting out the devils, and the gift to prophesy, you know, these power gifts, these are the gifts that the majority of people want. You know, something that's going to, you can see.
Which we'd all say that they're all, of course, power gifts because it takes the power of God to do either one of these.
Right. Well, but we're talking about a demonstration of a power on in someone's particular life.
Exactly.
You know, because I've heard them classified, you know, the nine gifts into three different categories. And I think the other day when we're doing the previous one of the previous podcasts, I mentioned two of them, couldn't remember the other one. Mm-hmm. And see if that comes to me here now. But he was talking about power gifts, which was the gifts of healings and miracles. And I believe it may have been discerning of spirits. Anyway, that I kind of lost my train of thought there, and I'll come back to that in a minute. Maybe. We'll see. But anyway, getting back to what I was saying is, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, as Paul says, but my understanding is unfruitful. This is why he's telling them that there, if there's no interpreter present, let him pray that he may interpret. And there's this argument out there I've heard by some that say, well, God never gives a person a tongue for them to interpret themselves. Well, that's proven wrong right here, but it's scripture. If Paul is advising them to pray that he may interpret, then that means God may give them the interpretation. Now, so somebody says, well, How's he going to interpret the tongue that he's just speaking in that he doesn't know? He's going to do it supernaturally. He's not going to like, he's going to say, oh, hold on, time out. Let me go to my Spanish course online and let me learn and translate this. Now, with some of the modern technology we have, we could probably record it and put it into the program and it would convert it and tell us what it is. If it's a known language.
Assuming it's right, it's a known language.
Yeah, assuming it's a known language. And that's another assumption that many have made is all tongues are known languages, even though you may not know it when you're speaking it. But where's the proof of that? That it's a known language. Because it says here that he who prays in a tongue, if there's no interpreter, let him pray that he may interpret it. He's interpreting based on what? Because he knows Spanish or French? No, he's interpreting because he's being moved upon by the Holy Spirit, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit giving him interpretation.
Right.
And he still doesn't know the language. He's just interpreting the message.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that, you know, is one of the points here to make that basically prove that what happened on the day of Pentecost as a sign to the unbelievers isn't the only purpose for tongues. Like I said, in verse 4, it says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So what does it mean to edify oneself? And that is the question of the day. Now let's look over here what we see in Jude, the book of Jude, which is actually only one chapter, or even, it's not even considered a chapter, but we'll call it chapter one. Jude is this, probably the smallest book here, or one of them. And it says down here in verse 20 of Jude, verse 20, says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and on some have compassion, making a distinction. Well, we'll stop there and go back to verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. What does he mean, building yourself up? That's the same thing as the word edify. Because edify means to build oneself up. To edify is to build oneself up. And they say, well, I don't see why that's important. Why do I need to build myself up? Because when you're weak, you need to be built up to be stronger. Sometimes people's faith needs to be built up a little bit more so they can believe. You ever thought about that? Jesus said to his own disciples after he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration in Mark chapter 9, when this guy came to him. Let's turn to that real quick, because I think this will be important to this point. Mark chapter 9, and we'll come back to 1 Corinthians 14. Mark chapter 9. And we might turn to Matthew chapter 17, because I think that's where the same story is told. It said then, verse 14, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude around him, and scribes disputing with him. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with him? Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? He said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him into the fire, into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Amen. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Amen. Now, we can stop there because basically we know Jesus took charge of the situation and cast a demon out of the boy. Now, somebody's going to say, well, you know, I can see where you're going with this, Brother Keith. You're saying their faith was weak and they couldn't get the job done. And you're, you know, I'm assuming somebody's catching my drift here, that you're alluding to the fact that if they had been built up in their faith, they would have been able to cast that demon out, right? But then they're going to say to me, well, see, that's not even true, because Jesus says, Rick, down here, when they say in verse 28, and when he came to his house, come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. See, that almost proves my proves somebody's point that, well, see, what's this building yourself up on your most holy faith got to do with this? Well, this one little clue is this. He said it couldn't come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. What kind of prayer? Any kind of prayer? Praying around the clock and fasting? Yeah, okay. But let's look at something he said here in Matthew chapter 17. And see, some of you kind of probably know where I'm going with this, you know, because I'm kind of already stating the fact already. Weak faith doesn't get much of anything done. Strong faith does. Because, you know, people say, oh, well, you know, all you need to do is have just a little bit of faith. If you just have enough faith as a mustard seed, you can move this mountain. Well, see, that's a misconception. Because Jesus never commended anybody for having little faith. You know, he did say if you have faith as a size of a mustard seed, you'd say to this mountain, be removed, cast in the sea, and so on. But is he talking about having little faith? Or is he talking about what that mustard seed's potential is? Because he said it's like the kingdom of God is like a man who throws seed on the ground to grow and become. And he talked about the mustard seed becoming the smallest seed in the garden, but becoming the biggest plant in the garden.
That's true.
So what he's really talking about is the potential of the seed. He's not talking about the size of it in terms of comparing it to the size of your faith. Because if you look at any examples where Jesus was talking to anybody about their faith, he never commended anybody for having little or no faith.
That's true. That's a good point.
He said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He said that to Peter, right?
That's true.
And he said that in other cases. Why is it that you have no faith? Now, when it comes to the centurion, mm-hmm. He said he had not found so such great faith, no, not in Israel, right? So
it can be measured.
A Roman who wasn't even a Jew, was not even an Israelite, had greater faith than all of those who were in Israel. And you'd think that the Jewish people would have more faith because they had the covenant. But he understood something. But anyway, so getting back to my point here, let's go back to Matthew 17. Because he says something else here that kind of adds to this. So let's look at verse 14. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic. This is what the New King James translation says. And suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Who's he calling a faithless and perverse generation? The father of the son?
No.
His own disciples?
Mm-hmm.
Because they couldn't get the job done. Because why would he be disappointed in them not being able to get the job done if he hadn't expected them to be able to get the job done.
That's a good point.
So then basically their faith didn't measure up to the level where it needed to be. And, you know, the proof is kind of in what I've said already about when he told the centurion that he had not found such great faith. No, not in Israel. I mean, if I'm one of his 12 disciples and I heard that, I'd be like, I'm thinking that should motivate me to, you know, want to do something about that. Why should a foreigner on the outside of the covenant be one who has greater faith than me? I'd feel, you know, challenged by that.
Right?
So here Jesus said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. That's some strong words. And Jesus rebuked the demon that came out, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Sure, and we read in Mark chapter 9, he said, you know, this kind cannot come out by prayer and fasting. But see, Matthew gives you more details. Jesus says, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out by prayer and fasting. So prayer and fasting is key to help building up your faith. Because if they prayed and fasted, their faith would have rose up to the level where it needed to be.
They'd be edified.
They'd be edified, right? And this is also another part of where tongues come in. He who prays in a tongue edifies himself.
Hmm.
What is praying in a tongue? Praying in that unknown heavenly language that God gives us, right? Because Jude verse 20 says, beloved, building yourself up, edifying yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit. So going back to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. Wow, my wife just indicated I'm past the 30 minutes. Praise God, this teaching has been so good. I can't imagine I'm already past 20. But you know what? We're going to close this up here in a few minutes. And wow, I don't know. We might have to do another part on this.
This is very edifying.
That's good, sweetheart. That's good. I appreciate that. Anyway, so for it says here in verse 14, for if I pray in a tongue, what? My spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. I want to key in on here. When, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Jude verse 20 says, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is going to help edify you. So prayer and fasting, praying in tongues, is going to edify you, and that's going to help build up your faith so that you can believe and accomplish things that you wouldn't be able to accomplish through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So we're going to close this off here for now, and we'll pick it up in the next part. I don't know how much more we still need to do on this subject of tongues interpretation, but I think there's still more to be said.
This has been really good. And of course, we always want to extend the invitation to those of you who have never given Jesus your heart. This is the opportunity of your lifetime. There's nothing you're going to do of more value with your life than to actually give your life to the Lord, to the God who created you and made a plan of salvation available to you. And what is that plan? You and I were separated from God. Sinners, we have sin, which separate us from God's holiness and his presence. But God does not want you and I to live eternally without him. So he made a way, and Jesus is the way. Jesus came, died on the cross, so that when you accept the love that he is offering you, the forgiveness that he is offering you, then he will make you a son of God. Forgive your sins. Your name is written in the book of life, and you will then have life eternally with the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will come and abide in you. So today is the day to say yes. Today is the day of salvation.
Amen, sweetheart. You said it so perfectly. So we're in this broadcast here, and we want to say God bless you to everyone who's listened, and we invite you to continue to listen on, because there's more on this series. We are not finished yet.
Have a good night.
Have a good night. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.